White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 635.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! And welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you as we are watching Auburn baseball live by White Rocket Entertainment and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, the Auburn baseball family, our own Patreon.com family. That's it. I'm Van Allen Plexico. I'm watching baseball and talking at the same time. I'm joined as always by my co-host who's doing the same thing.
I'm John Ringer.
We're watching the baseball game, John.
It is Monday night at 9:18 p.m. Eastern Time. Auburn leads 2-1 and just had a runner thrown down on a close play at first base. So if there are sudden exclamations during this podcast, it will be because of the actions of the Auburn versus Oregon State baseball game. So
this is like a live reaction. We should do like a YouTube Van and John react to Auburn in the College World Series. So it's 2-1 Auburn in the top of the sixth, and Sonny Delight is up batting, and we're not going to do the play-by-play necessarily, but we are going to keep an eye on it. I have it on my phone, which is comfortably ensconced below the screen that has you and me on it. So I'll have one eye on us and one eye on the baseball game. So, and one eye on the notes and one eye on the soundboard, and there's just a lot of eyes floating around over here at my house. So anyway, how are you?
I'm well, hanging in there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I've seen two college football magazines out, and I haven't had a chance to read any of them yet. Oh, and I've seen another one that was like a free online PDF thing. I sent that to you. Have you seen that? Do you know?
Yep.
That was the one that misspelled pass catchers. I guess you have to follow me on Twitter to get the full appreciation. I'm not going to say it. But they left off the P in Auburn's pass catchers, and I said, whoever wrote this magazine is being more truthful about our receivers than he even meant to. Sad, but it's true. It's true. I'm afraid. And somebody said that's officially going into the lexicon for this coming season, that we have a bunch of pass catchers minus the P. Oh, did he get walked? He strolls like a battleship coming into the harbor, so I believe he got walked. Oh, yeah, way outside. Sure enough. All right. That's what happened. I'll take my eye off of it for a second. All right. So let's just kind of recap how things got where they are. I'm sure people enjoy hearing it again. So on these have been the first two games before today. This one mercifully started at 6:30 or thereabouts. But the first two were late night. I mean, for you, they were insanely late night.
Well, especially the first one.
Yeah.
The Saturday night game, you know, probably didn't start until like 10 Eastern.
Ugh.
And then there was pitching changes and other stuff. And I know that game ended like at 2 o'clock in the morning my time.
Oh yeah,
and
I know
I did. Well, I did not make it.
I know it was 1 o'clock in the morning my time Central. So I know you, did he catch that? So, no, I guess not. So I know it was 2 for you. That is crazy. And then last night, Sunday night's game was close, but it seemed to move along at a better clip, right? And so it ended about midnight. I think it ended right at the stroke of midnight for me. Were you able to make it through it?
I did not make it. Again, I had to get up and work early this morning, so I did not make it to the end of the Sunday night game.
Okay.
It's the problem with these late West Coast games. And remind me, I want to come back to this in terms of our future football schedule later. But
yeah,
it was a challenge. But they've been fun, exciting, close games. So Auburn won the Saturday night game and in a kind of improbable fashion when your starting pitcher gets knocked out in the first inning and then you rally from that and overcome the deficit to keep coming back and win the game. That's huge. And that's then
there's a big base hit. Run, Sonny, run.
Not his strength.
Did somebody score? No, second and third. second and third. Sonny's like, he's down on all fours. Somebody bring that man an oxygen tent. Bring him an oxygen tank. Oh, no. He's hurting. He got hit in the leg with the ball earlier in the game, I know.
Got hit by a pitch.
That was a well-placed shot to right.
The right corner.
Yeah. What happened? Go ahead. No, I was going to say, what happened in game two, we were hitting the ball. It just wasn't getting out. I mean, hit after hit fell just short on the warning track, basically.
And it's interesting. I think it's a real difference, you could, in my view, from the night games there to this day game, where I think the ball's carrying a little further because that, you know, Sonny hit a home run early in this game in game three that was just barely over the fence, kind of in deep left center.
Oh, about like a foot.
I do not believe that ball would have been out at nighttime. I think the ball carries further in the daytime when it's warm, and I think he would not have made it out at night. I don't know if they're looking at Sonny like he's hurt or something, but I think that was big. It was in the daytime because otherwise it would have been just a noisy out. Like a lot of the other Auburn hits in the series where we made contact with the ball, there was a lot of fly balls. And so the other thing I want to talk about at this point is this has been a terrible production by ESPN in these three games.
Everybody keeps saying that, yeah.
They're interviewing people during the game. They're missing key elements. They missed an entire at-bat in game one, I think. It came back from a commercial after that at-bat happened. they're talking to people and miss what's happening on the field. Their camera angles are really poor. You can't tell what's happening because of the way they're doing the cameras and the editing. So it's not a good baseball game execution by ESPN. They show a lot of baseball. They show a lot of college baseball. You know, they should be better at it than this, I'm going to be honest. So.
Yeah. It's like they sent not their B team, but their like J team out there to to do this, and it's just odd.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So yeah, the first game we were able to get quite a few runs and get a nice little padding. They made a little bit of a comeback late, but we held on, put the closer in. The second game, just like I said, nothing was getting out. Everything was falling short, and it was a low scoring. It was like 4-3. Oh, no, not a double play. Oh, no, he dropped it. He's safe. Are you kidding? I thought he was safe.
Oh. And so the other thing that happened in game two was that, you know, Oregon State pitched their guy, Herpe. Is one of the best pitchers in college baseball, and he was excellent in that game.
Sonny did score.
Five and two-thirds innings, six strikeouts. He was really good in that game, and he made the difference. So I think, you know.
Oh, he's safe. He was safe. They're showing the replay. He's easily safe. Come on. This isn't even as close as the one about 10 minutes ago that they reviewed and reviewed and reviewed. He's easily safe. Oh, he's clearly safe. They better reverse that because he's clearly safe. But Sonny did come in, so it's 3-1 Auburn now, and that's good. I like 3 better than 2. 3 is always better than 2, John.
That's a strong statement, Van, but I'll agree.
We'll go with it for baseball runs anyway. We'll keep an eye to see if they review this. I didn't even know they had review in baseball. I thought that once the dudes on the field make their ruling, we're done. But
it's not everything, but there are limited things they can't review. So,
well, they're having prayer meetings out on the mound, and the umpires are all having meetings, and somebody just said candlesticks are a good gift. Yeah, candlesticks are nice. And I guess somebody got my Bull Durham reference there. So, we'll see how this goes. We do have, before we get into our football position group review, I mean, we're going to keep talking about this baseball game as far as it goes, because it's kind of, they've made her. He's safe! Yes! Yes! I told you otherwise.
You are out of order! You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
But they've said it. They've said it straight. They called
him. We're gonna get some real stream of consciousness discussion during this show where I'm talking about something and the game happens. And yes,
it is gonna be interesting. I think it's gonna be fun. It'll be a nice change. So now we got guys on the corners with just one out rather than a guy on first with two outs. That's a lot better situation to be in.
Big.
This is huge. This could be the turning point in the entire game right here. Okay. So while they're sorting that out, we do have...
This is the USFL report.
Birmingham lost to the Houston Gamblers? What?
This has been the USFL report.
Cannon gets me every time. I forget it's coming. Yeah, Birmingham beat all the good teams, and they turn around and lose to the worst team in the league, or one of them. That's just unbelievable. Oh, well. Let's see. Tonight, John, we're going to review what position. What's left?
The last position groups for us to review are cornerback and nickel.
All right. Let's do it.
So, again, it's kind of two positions in one, but there's a lot of guys here and a good conversation, right? So we mentioned, you know, last week, so we're going to go over guys we lost first. And a couple of the guys we mentioned last week also played some nickel, good Tennyson, who transferred to Ole Miss.
Oh, man.
So,
Tennyson is gone.
Yep, sorry, Ed. So the big loss, obviously, is Roger McCreary, right? Yes. He was our All-American, our stud on defense, our great corner in a line of excellent corners over the last few years, and a guy who really developed himself, who came in as a low three-star.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was a three-star. He was the lowest rated of almost any player in that class.
That's right. But stuck with it, worked hard, developed himself, and that he was obviously a little better than his recruiting ranking.
Yeah.
And he, over time, got better and better and better and became an All-American and a real difference maker. So he went to the NFL, and he's a big loss. And then also in the secondary, we lost Eric Reed, who was a cornerback signee from Louisiana who went to Georgia Tech. We lost Roe Torrance, who was a JUCO signee.
I guess Eric Reed just wanted to do more math. He just felt like he wasn't doing enough math, and so he needed to go somewhere that he could do more math.
Listen, if you want to play, Georgia Tech has spots available. So
they do. In their stands, too.
They do. And then in a similar vein, like Roe Torrance with Arizona State. Arizona State, bit of a crisis right now. Fired a bunch of assistant coaches, a bunch of players left. They'll take anybody. So
come on out.
And then
Drayshon
Miller. Drayshon Miller also transferred out, has not found another school yet. That's another.
Oh,
so who's back, and then who's coming in? So obviously we lost some depth and some talent at that position. So we have two guys, you know, the theoretical starters back, Nehemiah Pritchett and Jalen Simpson. Okay. You know, they're both good players. Pritchett's a little faster. Simpson's a little bigger, more physical, good tackler and stuff. And I think they're good players. But again, we're talking about three spots here, right? The two outside cornerback spots and the nickel spot.
Woo!
So
Auburn just scored another run. They did a bunt and got the guy from third base in, I believe. Let's see. Hold on. Here's a replay. Bunt down the first base line. They let the runner to first base go. And went for the force out at home and didn't get the tag in time. So it is 4-1. See, they could have easily gotten the first base runner out, but they threw away from him to the home plate guy, to the catcher. And now it's 4-1, and we have a man on first and second with one out. I like it. I approve of this inning, John.
And I'm going to say, similar to the play where Auburn had where Sonny tried to throw the base runner out early in the game at first base, it's tough to catch the ball and make that underhand throw with enough velocity to catch a really fast runner who's already moving. You don't want to cock your arm and do the full throw because you're only throwing it about 10, 20 feet, and it's tough to do that. So it is a weird in-between place.
They reviewed that. I was running down here to get on the show when that happened. Did they reverse it, or they let it stand, didn't they? That he was out?
No, he was safe.
I mean, that he was safe? Yeah, he was safe. Okay. Yeah. It was close.
Yeah. All right, so we interrupt this baseball discussion. We're back to the cornerback nickel conversation. All right, so again, Pritchett and Simpson are two good, solid players. I don't know if either one of them is, you know, Roger McCreary or some of the other guys we have recently, but they're good, solid starters, right? And confident SEC corners. We have a redshirt freshman we signed last year named A.D. Diamond.
Love it.
And then we get to the new guys, okay? So the first is a transfer cornerback from Oregon named D.J. Jane. So I think he's going to start, and the three, and you know, maybe Pritchett will be at nickel, or Simpson will be at nickel, and it'll be those three. James, Pritchett, and Simpson will be the three starters.
Can we call him D.J. Jazzy James?
We can.
Good.
I'll allow it. So. But then we need some other guys, right? So we had two freshman signees at corner and a JUCO signee at corner, because obviously we need guys in the future and we need guys now this year to play backup. So the two really good signees we got in the secondary of the freshmen are J.D. Rim and Austin Osberry. And I think they both showed something so far. And I think, you know, Rim especially is a guy I think is going to play. Is definitely going to be able to step in and play this fall, and you know, not a starter, but a limited role, make, you know, come in the field, make a difference. We're nickel and dime and that kind of thing. And the other guy we signed is a JUCO corner named Keontae Scott, and so I think between Rim, Osberry, and Scott, we have some depth. We got Diamond, so those are the guys that can be the backups. But again, I think we have solid talent, we have solid depth, but we can't afford a bunch of injuries here. We're going to be really in a bad way if we have a bunch of injuries at corner. So I, you know, again, solid, good position, good experience, good depth, but not the same. And maybe we don't have the difference maker we had in McCreary that we could put on the other team's top receiver and really feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, that was a luxury when we used it. We didn't use it as much last year. We should. That was one of the big complaints, right, was that our defensive scheme went more toward a zone and didn't really let those guys show out like they could until the Alabama game.
That's right.
And we saw what happened in the Alabama game when we did it. Man.
Because they're comfortable with it and they could do it. And so, I think that's a, you know, we're bringing in guys that, you know, for the scheme and for what they want to do, have that ability. But also, I think we're bringing in some talented guys that a lot of other schools wanted. And I think it'll be, you know, the freshman and the JUCO signee, I think, would be pretty good. I mean, Scott was the number one JUCO corner signee that everybody wanted. And I think Rim and Osberry are good players. And Osberry's younger brother is one of the top players in this next signing class. So I think he's a linebacker, but he, you know, so he's visited Auburn recently and feels good about that. So that's something else to keep an eye on. But I feel good about corner. I don't think it's a big position of weakness. But again, I worry a little bit about depth if we have a big injury. I'm interested to see what James could do. I think he could be the transfer who plays the most out of everybody that we've had. And I want to see, you know, Pritchett and Simpson have both over different times had some injury things. I want to see them step up and play to their full potential and see if they can kind of make a leap like some of the corners we've had recently. So,
by the way, before we get out of the football section here, in terms of this stuff, there's been some recruiting stuff going on, right? We've got some guys kind of lined up. We're having Big Cat Weekend again that we didn't really do so much last year, or didn't really try. They really seem to be putting, I said this before, but they really do seem, the coaches and the administration, they seem to be putting a lot bigger effort. And, of course, the COVID thing being kind of out of the way for right now helps, too. I understand that, and I appreciate it. But it just seems like there's a much renewed energy and focus and effort on recruiting going on right now.
There is, and I think some of it is recruiting earlier, right? Like, I think last year they wanted to evaluate guys more weight, and some of it was that you couldn't have as many guys on campus, right, everything else was going on. But I think they're being more aggressive now in terms of having players in earlier, and offering earlier and that kind of thing. Some of that is just an adjustment on their part, but I also think they've made some changes in the kind of the behind the scenes recruiting people. And I think that plus the new coaches they brought in, you know, are making a difference. And I do think I'm going to tell you again, I think recruiting is going better. I think, you know, in the end, will that, you know, be the difference? It's going to come down to, you know, can we win some football games and that help influence recruits? You know, I think there's a lot of recruits that are considering Auburn, but I think there's a bunch of them that aren't going to jump, you know, into the boat on pure faith. They want to see something. So I think that we've convinced enough good players to at least give us that opportunity to show them something to have some hope about, theoretically, right?
Yes. Yeah, and it seems like even one or two pretty good ones that are already committed to other places are thinking about changing over, coming to Auburn.
Yeah. No, again, we've had a lot of good visitors over the last few weeks, and yep. seems to be going well, that yeah. part. Yep. So I think that's making a difference. And so I think Auburn is going to, if everything goes the way it's going, I think recruiting is going to finish significantly better than it did last year.
Oh, we certainly have to hope so.
Yeah, I think it is. But I think the results on the field are going to impact it, right? I mean, I think, and I'm not talking about we have to go 11-1 or whatever, but I'm saying we have to show something that makes recruits excited, right? We have to show something that creates energy and enthusiasm among the fans and the recruits. And it could be, the way we, again, I'd love for us to have a game where, maybe we don't beat Georgia, but we go up there and score a bunch of points on them or something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. and people have some hope, like right. that kind of thing, right? So,
oh yeah,
I think what I'm talking about is that kind of stuff.
Well, we've always said that losing competitive is not enough to get a coach run out of town. Certainly not in the first couple of years. It's just getting your tail beat. It's 2012. 63-21 type things. That's what gets you run out of town, And when there's no hope, when the fans look at it and go, this is not getting any better. And so, that was kind of what Harsin, I think, was flirting with a little bit, unfortunately, about 6-7 months ago or so, was this idea that a lot of people were starting to think, show me something that indicates this is getting better. And I think now he is.
Yes.
I think they are showing us reason to have hope that things will get better. And that's good.
Yes. It is good. No, again, I'll criticize them when they need to be criticized. But right now, the truth is that the recruiting operation is going better.
Yeah. So next week, we're going to go back then and kind of look at all of this in retrospect, all the position groups, and what do you want to evaluate?
We're going to do a quick recap, but then I want to say kind of like, okay, after this conversation we just had about all these groups, mm-hmm. are there ones that you feel better or worse about after we did the little reviews, but also kind of which positions do you feel best about, or which positions do you feel the most concerned about on the whole thing?
All right. So join us next time for that. Meanwhile, let's go ahead and take this opportunity to thank the folks that keep the show on the air. We don't do commercials. We don't do ads. We do play-by-play commentary, obviously, but we don't do ads. So if you would like to help with that and be part of the family and get to do things like the NCAA tournament brackets with us and the college football bowl pick'em with us and the Fantasy Formula One League, which is currently going on, which I'm going to give you a quick update on in just a minute, then just go to www.auwishbone.com. And in fact, there are other things you can do at www.auwishbone.com. Currently on www.auwishbone.com, you can see the full video of the interview I had with ESPN about the Heisman House ad. I had the link there before to the ad, and like Nissan or somebody took it down, and I had a dead player. So I just went in and they had given me a copy of the video just to have, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to put it up there. So I put it up on our server, so they can't even get it. It's not even on YouTube. They can't even take it down. They could send me a nasty letter, but they're not going to get it down. Also on www.auwishbone.com right now are all of the episodes that we did of We Believe. I think we ultimately did like, what, eight or nine episodes. I know we haven't ever finished the Gus Malzahn episode because things were all happening and we got wrapped up in doing the book and everything. So at some point, because we recorded most of it a long time ago, we can go back and do the last couple of years and wrap that up. But I know that we did the first 8 episodes and they're all there where you can play. You don't have to go searching through our old back catalog. They're right there on the website, auwishbone.com. All right, here are the folks who make things like that possible. We have to thank Samuel Salvatore, the great Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Dr. Crackham. So many of these folks, by the way, I always enjoy seeing on Twitter. They're all and many of them are good friends as well. Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC. It's Always Hate Week, Logan Chilton. All right, I hear you. Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, Ben Bloodworth, Chris Hilton, Assistant Manager, Jones Barbecue Foot Massage, Jones Barbecue Foot Massage. I don't have the audio clip handy, but I figure I would just bust that out for him. Chris Thrash.
I think you shouldn't use a soundboard. You should just do them all.
I should just freestyle. Do them all. Okay. Maybe tonight I'll do that. Let's see. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson. I got my throat's kind of rough tonight with all the pollen. Dan Thompson, David Hegler. Oh, I got to interrupt this to say something. I don't know who's going to win this game, but we already win because it's the middle of June, and these Oregon State people all afternoon have been wearing like heavy coats and parkas in June. Good gosh. Are you kidding me? All right. John is enjoying this opportunity to watch the baseball game while I go down the list. Good for you. Let's see. Dan Thompson, David Hegler, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Bobby, faithful AU Wishbone podcast listener since 2013, plus went back and listened to all of 2012. You get a purple heart for that, as far as I'm concerned.
You know what? You're a tough human being. I'm just going to say that.
That's true. We made it through it, but we had to. George Gaston. I'm sick and tired of this carping about my insulation. My insulation is way better than John's. All right, I love it. Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith. Knock on wood, Tuesday we will still be an Auburn baseball podcast. I like it, Rusty. That's good. Mickey B, Ole Miss's Miracle Medical. Oh, Ole Miss is waiting for us in Omaha if we win this game, interestingly enough. The SEC West has been rocking.
Well, and let me be clear. An Ole Miss at Southern Miss Super Regional they had last week was kind of like nuclear level in the state of Mississippi. That was intense.
Yeah, yeah. And Ole Miss swept them 15-0 combined. 10-0 and 5-0. How bad must poor Southern Miss feel? They finally had a chance to kind of get even with the two big boys in the state. Did not.
They'll never
well.
Get them there in a football game, but no. They got them there in this. And
honestly, John, it used to be they were the football school. There was a period in the 80s when Southern Miss was better than Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
Sure. This happened multiple times. So.
And then I think it's just the SEC West kind of lifted them up and took
some. And they made some bad hires. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was interesting. Right. I think a lot of younger people don't realize Southern Miss wasn't always like Louisiana Monroe. They used to be a good, good program. They beat Florida State. They beat us 2 years in a row. That would be the Brett Favre era, right? Or yep. Thereabouts. Close to it. Yeah. Okay. I'll go Rhythm and Blues. Paul Miles, Phil Davis.
Like an unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Thundersnow.
And I gotta say, I sure enjoy, there's two things Reynolds does lately, and has for a while. He goes on these amazing trips and goes fishing out in these beautiful places in God's country, right? And he takes these gorgeous nature photographs, sometimes of just nature, sometimes of himself with fish and stuff. And then he writes just this poetry that goes along with it, and that's on Facebook. So if you're lucky enough to follow him on Facebook, you get some really cool pictures and really cool words. And I just want to tell Reynolds I appreciate him doing that because he really has – that man has skills, John. He has talents and skills.
He's a very talented human being.
He really is. Rich Reimer, Robo Harson. I guess Jared will get to work on Robo Harson soon. Sarah Brown, Steve Harlan, thank goodness for Win Carroll because Larry Bird's not walking through that door, friends. Kevin McHale is not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door. I'm going to just do them all and see if I can do. Theodore Gary, War Eagle Always, Warhammer 6, I like that one. WDE Richie, just two little country kids outside misbehaving. Bow, 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 bow. This is some of these are harder than others. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Body, and joining me as always is my patron, Patrick Williams. Please clap. Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Cato the Barner, celebrating two little country kids outside sitting at my table. That's a nice combo. See, you got the combo there. That's nice. Colby Butler, Corey Smyer. These folks are very creative, by the way. Darris Benton, David Simpson, Dibama. Still helping Van upgrade his installation. Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kanoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson. Show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. Well, that's fair enough. Snowdog, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87, insert favorite soundboard audio. Yink.
You have failed me for the last time.
There you go. John's having a good time. Just he's silent right now. AJ Herman insert. Oh, come at me. I'm a man. I'm 40. Oh, this show is going to get us. You're going to lose half our patrons and half our audience by the time this show is over. And I'm going to lose most of my voice, too. Uh-oh, Oregon State just got a good hit. And that ball is gone. All right. Was there anybody on base? Doesn't look like it. Was that a solo shot?
No, there was a guy in second.
Ah, 4-3?
Mm-hmm.
All right, 4-3 in the bottom of the seventh. So they just made up two runs on us in one shot, and there's one out. No, there's no outs. All right, here's the replay. Yeah, he got all that one. He knew it as soon as he hit it. He's like, it's gone, baby. Ah, them Beavers. Let's see. Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Regas, Brian Albanese, C. Braun, Charles Mooney, Chris Cummo, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, and finally, Daniel Barnett. Does AU Wishbone huddle with horrors prior to each episode? We did listen to Huddle with Horrors and talked about it last episode, but we do not, in fact, huddle with horrors. We hope horrors does well, but we are not part of the huddle. Elizabeth Donald.
Oh, I got to get better at celebrating.
I want early access to the basketball books. So do I. We're working on it now. I'll buy this for $1. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Ulrich, Jeremiah Schumann. Did they just hit something else? No, that was a replay. Ah, stupid replays. John Samuel Schenker, Jingleheimer Schmidt, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for Life. Someone knows. God knows. Loving Auburn means you have to smoke weed every day. This is killing me. I have the soundboard for a reason, so I don't have to do this. Oh, my gosh. Mark Squire, MVP, captivating Kathy Bright.
My precious.
How's that one, Kathy? There's you, Lord of the Rings one. Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland. Spanky, being at the bottom of this list is like the...
It's the 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
I'm going to get through this, John, but it's going to be by the hardest. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis. Yes, indeed. Stephen Thompson, the 10 p.m. Baseball Club. Yes. Amen to that. The Slinko Family. This name is brought to you by Bubba's Discount Tire and Tax Services. Trevor Johnson, TV's Darren Pyle, Brent Rumble, Chris, plus, finally, our one-time and anonymous donors. Go to www.auwishbone.com. Let me give you a quick, before my voice gives out entirely, there has been quite the shakeup in the Fantasy Formula One League standings, John. Quite the shakeup. Number one is still Daniel O. He's kind of running away with it. He clearly knows what he's doing. But number two is John Ringer.
Boom.
You have the number two team in Formula One right now. So you're kind of the Ferraris of the team, of the league, but not this past week.
Good, yeah. Good and bad.
Good and bad, right.
Better strategy than those guys.
Yeah, really. Number three is me. My Red Bull-related team has really been scorching since Red Bull did so well with winning first and second at Baku. And then number four is Daniel O. And number five, is his second team. And number five is Eric M. I think that's Eric Morgan. Alexandra Ringer is number six. Eric's team, second team is number seven. My second team is number eight. Royce is number nine. And Alan J. Porter is up into the top 10, I think, for the first time all season. And there's no Mira, which is annoying because she usually is up there in the top. So there's your Fantasy Formula One update. I've already gone in and made a few tweaks to my team for the Canada race next week. And let's see what else we need to do here. I think it's time for Guess the Game. You ready for Guess the Game?
Bring it on.
All right. This is number 55, I believe. Here we go. Comes Jared. Who can it be
now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Ulrich, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game. number 55. Guess the Game 55 is brought to you by a longtime listener and Guess the Game supporter, Wigabear. Wigabear, I always mess it up. Anyway, he's on Twitter, and it's like Wigabear, Wigabear. Let's find out what he sent in for us this time around.
From left to right, end over end kick, and very returnable from the four. To the 5, 10, 15, hits the hole, 20, 25, 30. Up the middle of the field, 35, 40, 45, 50. There it goes to the 45, to the 40, into territory at the 38-yard line. There's a big return for 57 yards.
That's exactly what we were looking for from him. He was just one step away, and he hit that first wave, and he was shot out like a cannon. That's what Auburn needs, a momentum changer to come back in to get it inside the 40-yard line of.
All right, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
All right. A kickoff return, a big kickoff return in a critical moment. Time frame based on the announcers.
Between 2003 and 2000. When was Rod's last? Like 19, I think, or something?
Yeah.
18, 19, somewhere in there.
18.
Yeah. So quite a large window there, pretty much. Most of the 21st century. And that was Stan White, I think, on the color commentary. It didn't sound like it was that long ago, though.
No, I thought it was a more recent game. I mean, I feel like since 2010 and maybe even, you know, 13 to now.
And that was a kickoff, wasn't it? That wasn't a
It was
punt.
A kickoff return, and we didn't score.
No.
But we got back, it was like a 60-yard kickoff return in a big game, apparently.
Yeah.
Where we really needed it. And he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, and there was a lot of momentum swing going on there. By the way, update on the game. It's the bottom of the seventh, 4-3 Auburn, and Oregon State has one out, but they have a man on first and a man on second. They're starting to get opportune hitting, which is not good.
Hey, Auburn fans chewing their fingernails right now.
And we had a little fielding hiccup there. Here comes the manager out on the field talking about some candlesticks and breathing through your eyelids like a lava lizard. I don't really have a clue as to this. The only kickoff return I remember specifically was 2000 against LSU. That was Tim Carter, and he ran it all the way back. So this is one that went to like the 38. I mean,
We returned one for a kickoff for a touchdown against Washington State or Utah State in the opener in 2010 or 2013. One of those games we returned one for a touchdown, maybe Utah State. That wasn't this. I want to say the shot out of a cannon thing kind of makes me think of Shivers, you know?
Could.
Let
me check. I'm going to double check on.
Was there a big kick return that he did in, you know?
2018 was the last season that Rod called for us, so it would be 2018.
Okay. So it's not Shivers.
So it's not Shivers, yeah. Oh, man, you Google Rod Bramblett, and you know what picture comes up?
Yeah, don't.
It's not. Yeah, it's not Rod that comes up. That's really annoying. They need to fix that. They need to change that immediately.
So I think we got to go to the hint file.
I think we're going to have to. All right, stand by. Here comes the hint file.
All right, let's get rid of those bleeps. Give it a listen.
From left to right, end over end kick, and very returnable from the four. To the 5, Davis, 10, 15, hits the hole, 20, 25, 30. Up the middle of the field, 35, 40, 45, 50. There goes Davis to the 45, to the 40, into Gator territory at the 38-yard line. There's a big return for Tristan Davis, 57 yards.
That's exactly what we were looking for from him. He was just one step away, and he hit that first wave, and he was shot out like a cannon. That's what Auburn needs, a momentum changer to come back in for Tristan Davis to get it inside the 40-yard line of Florida.
Huh. There goes Davis. Interesting. Interesting. But I'll see you in the answer file.
Right. It's not Chris. It's Tristan. He was the running back, receiver, kick returner that we had for a hot minute there. What year was he the big deal? It was under Tuberville, wasn't it?
Well, okay. So was that the 2007 Florida game?
2007 was in Gainesville. 2006 was in Auburn. Was that a home game? I couldn't tell.
I can't tell, but let's go 2006.
Works for me. All right. Let's do it. Let's go. We're going to go all in, push our chips on the table. 2006 Florida. This is a good one.
All right, guys. If you figured out
that this version of There Goes Davis goes back to the 2005 game between Auburn and Florida, then you've got it all figured out. I know we've done some plays from that game before, but it was pretty neat to have that other There Goes Davis play pointed out to me by Wigaber. So if you want to be like the probably mispronounced Wigaber and send me in some ideas, and I got a few in the hopper right now, you can hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It is all at Yard Sale Artist, or you can send me an email to Jarrod, J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. And I encourage you to check out theyardsaleartist.com for all your art needs. And with that self-pimpage out of the way, I hand it back to Van and John with a hearty war eagle.
Well, that was a good one. I would just make one little correction. It's that we had it right. It was six. We didn't play Florida in 05. So just probably either Jerry got the wrong information or just a typo or something there. Yeah. But
still a very good one because it's tough to do a special teams play that wasn't the kick six or whatever. It's tough.
Yes. Yeah. No, that was a good one. That was a really, really good one and great job. And again, as always, we appreciate Jarrod for doing them and we appreciate you guys sending him in suggestions and ideas and links. That's what he really likes is links so that he doesn't have to go searching for these plays. If you can find it when you suggest it to him, that would be really, really good. All right. I think that means that while we're watching the baseball game go into we're still in the bottom of the seventh. Oh, boy, one out and a man on first and second. This is a little nerve-wracking stuff, John, but while that's going on...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Oof, we just rang him up.
Closer's doing the job here. All right, first question from Doc Crackham. If Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage were to give an NIL deal, who is signing that deal on the Auburn football team?
Oh, gosh. That's a good one. That makes me have to go and I know. Let's see. Here it is.
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
Excuse me. Did you call number 52?
Did you hear me call number 52?
I forgot about all those. I forgot.
We don't have a good player named Jones, but I would say somebody that has great feet, maybe. That deserves a foot massage because their feet are so good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Anders Carlson?
Oh, that works.
You like to eat? America loves to eat. So why not open up somewhere America can sit down, enjoy a meal, and get their feet rubbed?
That works for me. Anders Carlson can kick a field goal and then sit back and get his feet rubbed. I like it. It works.
Right.
They just advanced in the second and third. Runner in scoring position, as they say.
Pass ball. So
pass ball.
Next question is from Bill Miner, who says, guys, I know we talked about our depleted receiver core a few episodes ago, so let's take a dip back in Auburn history and lore and talk about some favorites in the past. Number one, who was your favorite Auburn receiver to watch play? Number two, if you had to have a catch – in a crucial part of the game, who are you throwing it to? And number three, which former receiver would you love to drop into the current team to help right now?
Oh, man, that's good. The one that I always thought was the most dependable was Courtney Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
But if I gotta have, but if I've got to have instant offense, it's honestly Frank Sanders or Ronnie Daniels.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's hard to leave out Lawyer Tillman.
Mm-hmm. But I think Lawyer Tillman was a bigger, more physical receiver. Didn't have the upper end speed that I think Ronnie Daniels had. So
right, Ronnie Daniels just dragged the Georgia defense up and down the field that one game in 99 or 2000.
So in terms of favorite to watch play, let's just go with that question.
We just got out of the inning, John. We just got out of the inning, going to the top of the eighth. Still 4-3 Auburn. Put the smoke on that young man. Sit down, Beaver. Go gnaw a tree down or something. Damn it.
All right.
That's what
favorite receiver to watch play. You're saying Frank Sanders.
Favorite one to watch play was Lawyer Tillman.
Okay.
I think.
I get it. Lawyer Tillman is up there. I think Frank Sanders is up there. He made a ton of great plays.
He did. Alabama and Florida. Two different years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But even other games, he was just a playmaker kind of guy.
Yeah.
I did really enjoy Courtney Taylor's time.
Well, the thing about Courtney Taylor is he came in with like five other big-time receivers in that one class, and he wasn't the speed merchant of that group, but yet he was the guy you go to. You know, I mean, you had Oroma Shadu and Obamanu and Mix on that team, but yet Courtney Taylor was the guy when he needed it.
So his second question is, if you have to have one catch in a crucial part of the game, who are you going to throw it to? And my answer is Courtney Taylor.
Yeah, I'll go with Courtney Taylor. That'll work.
All right. And then which former receiver would you add into the current lineup to help the team out right now?
You know, honestly, who might help the team right now that we haven't even said is Terrell Zachary.
So his answers are number one, Frank Sanders. Number two, Darvin Adams.
Okay.
Another great clutch player.
Sure.
And number three, Terrell Zachary. He said Zachary, too.
How about that? Well, it's just because Zachary was a good receiver, but he also could get deep. He was fast and could get those 80-yard bombs, you know, that not everybody can do. So he was a good combination.
You would pick him over Sammy Coates or who's the other guy that was there that's on the Giants.
I mean, if I'm getting somebody from the recent past, it's probably keeping Seth Williams, right? I mean,
yeah.
When he was on, he was on.
Slayton is the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah, Darius Slayton. Yeah, he was okay, but he didn't really get good until he went to the pros. He never really did much for Auburn, I don't think. Not that much. Karsten Bailey and Tyrone Goodson and those guys from the Terry Bowden era that were so good. Willie Karsten.
They were great. They were great and underrated players. And I think they could, a Tyrone Goodson could really help the team right now.
Yeah.
You know, but I think I'm going to go back to Ronnie Daniels. I think they need number one, a guy that can get open, that can make plays, that can stretch the field, and he can free up all the other receivers. I think a guy like that could make all the difference.
He was amazing on the 99 team. Absolutely. All right.
That's it for listener questions.
All right. Well, up. Was that Sonny hitting?
Sonny is up.
I think he's just got on first base. Man, he comes at you. You just get out the way. Let's see. Replays, Sonny. They're going to deal. And boom. Oh, yeah. Right between first and second. Right out into right field there. And easily gets a single out of it. He's not a speed merchant by any means, but he can hit the ball.
He's a great, great hitter, though.
Yeah, he is. All right, let's get a few more insurance runs here. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much it for tonight. Do you have any final thoughts as we watch the last couple of innings of the baseball game? Otherwise, we'll free ourselves up to go finish the baseball game.
I was going to say it. This was kind of a disjointed podcast because you got the live reactions to the baseball game. So, but you also got Van singing the soundboard stuff,
sure,
which was fun. And we'll come back next week and do the summer magazine previews and what we learned from that. And
what we learned from the position reviews.
Yeah.
So we got several things to do. And we hopefully should have some more news about the basketball book because we have some wheels turning. We've had some things in motion, and it's heading toward its final draft now. In fact, John, I meant to text this to you this afternoon. I got the latest draft of the cover together, so I'm going to send that to you and see what you think. And then if you like it, I might put it up for the patrons to comment on. The patrons can get an early look at the cover. That'd be kind of cool.
I like it.
Good deal. All right, so we're going to watch the end of the baseball game. We will talk to you guys in a week. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.